Love to hear you read. For a few minutes this morning, I would like to ask you to dream with me. And I like to put the dream in its proper context by telling you what lies ahead for the next 10 months. And we'd like to put the next 10 months in a simple framework that we're going to label extravagant discipleship, unlikely disciples. We want to start it next Sunday by realizing that discipleship involves separations. And we're going to commit the team of people who will search for the next senior pastor to the job that God has given to them through the actions of this congregation. On the 9th and the 16th of March, you're going to hear from people that are part of our congregation. You're going to hear from people who, some of them for years, sat in a pew. They were delightful people. They were strong Christians. And almost without warning, God stepped into their life, and they find themselves doing things today they never thought they would do. They're making a difference here in Wilmington and in many places around the world. And you're going to hear it up close and personal on the 9th and the 16th. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to find out how you could be a part of some of what they do in short-term mission trips. You told us last August that many of you wanted to do that. The next two Sundays, those two Sundays in March, you will learn how you can do it. Starting on the 23rd of March and going through Easter Sunday, we are going to walk through the book of Revelation. That's right, Revelation in four installments. You heard it here first. You never heard it anywhere else. And on Palm Sunday, we're going to have an interlude where we simply retell the Palm Sunday story, which is an anticipation of Revelation 11:15, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. May and first part of June, we're going to look at extravagant discipleship seen through the eyes of a most unlikely disciple, Peter, as told by the Gospel of Mark. The end of June through July, we're going to look at extravagant discipleship sitting at the feet of the master teacher, Jesus Christ, as told by the Gospel of Matthew. In September and October, we're going to look at extravagant discipleship in service to the marginal and the oppressed and the forgotten as seen through the Gospel of Luke. And then in November and December, we're going to look at extravagant discipleship in union with our extraordinary Lord, as told in the Gospel of John. All of this is intended to give a proper biblical setting for our efforts at intentional discipleship toward the hundreds of people who are coming to this church right now and the thousands more who are going to be coming in the next 10 years. We have a challenge. We know that we have 1,200 people who have said that they consider this their church home. But on a good Sunday, 200 of them might be in an adult Christian education class downstairs. Where are the other 1,000? We might have 400 Brandywine people in small groups. Where are the other 800? There are people who come in and out of our doors intermittently. They are sort of disinterested observers. How do we reach out to them? This is no small issue. We're going to continue doing what we're doing because what we do is good and it's effective. It's just not enough. We need some new ideas. But I have to tell you, these new ideas for their success depend on something that we can't program. we can't anticipate. We can't do enough slogans to make it happen. Jesus said, this is how people will know that you're my disciples, because you love each other. And there's a lot I don't know about how a church loves each other. But I'm pretty sure that it involves at least making the effort to find out somebody's name and making that person feel like you want to be part of his life or her life. If that doesn't happen, I can talk till I'm blue in the face about intentional discipleship and the Great Commission, and it will be not much more than lip service. The success of ministry is going to be a shared event, or it just won't happen. So what are some ideas for the future? I'd like to share with you one today that I think holds a lot of promise for reaching out and touching people's lives that we're not touching by the traditional ways we do things. It's called a growth path. I'm going to use some slides today just to make it easier to remember. A growth path is, first of all, a short series of courses. Second of all, this short series is something that is connected in theme from one to the other. And when I show you an example in a minute, you'll see how the connections can be made. And third, a growth path can be experienced in a short period of time, like 6 months, or if your life is nuts. I just got a book. Somebody gave me a book last month called Crazy Busy. It's not a bad description of how you people live your lives. Not a bad description of how I live my life. How do we make our resources available to people who are overextended? One way we do it is to stretch out the possibilities. You can do a growth path in 6 months, or if it takes you 2 years, that's okay. It'll work like that. Let me give you an example here of what a growth path is. The first circle there is Alpha. Alpha is a marvelous opportunity for a group of people, small or large, to come together and talk about what life is about. Each session begins with a meal. It's followed by a short video. And then whoever is there has the opportunity to raise questions about what was presented in the video. You can talk about, does God exist? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? What is my life about? Does Christianity help me? You can ask any question you want. Millions of people around the world have done the Alpha course. It's a marvelous way to get a thorough introduction to the Christian faith. So let's say you did Alpha. And let's say it took 13 weeks and you did it. Let's say you started it in March and you finished it in May or early June. And you said, well, it's summer. I don't want to do anything else. But next fall, I'd like to do BTB, Basic Training in Bible. This is 6 weeks long, and the promise is that you'll be able, at the end of 6 weeks, to find any verse in the Bible in 45 seconds or less. You get familiar with how it's put together. You can find your way around. You can find your way around in the book, you can find your way around on your phone or your tablet, and we give people online resources that give specific reading plans, short, middle-sized, and longer. We also introduce people to online helps that can help you pray in a more disciplined manner, day in and day out. That's basic training in Bible. So you come out of basic training in Bible. The next section there is Connect. This is two sessions. That's all it is. And you could do that easily at the end of BTB, or you could wait until January or February of 2015. Connect is exactly what the title says. If you have people in Connect, the first session is a kind of getting to know you. Many of you have been to our home for a dinner or a Saturday coffee. You know how the drill works. You sit down in our living room and I start asking questions. Where do you live? Tell me what you do for a living. Tell me if you're married, tell me about your kids. People start to talk and they begin to build a picture of themselves in mine and Carol's minds. Well, that's got to come to an end. This is going to be a replacement for that. But the people who are going to lead it do exactly the same thing. So in that first session, there's a time when you just schmooze. You get to know people. You start to build friendships, relationships. And while half of the group is building relationships, we take the other half on a tour of this building. You've never been to every place in this building. We'll take you there, just so you start to feel at home here. The second session is a session in which we introduce you to our church's distinctives, our mission and vision, our message, and then we give you a simple way for you to decide and to build your next steps in connecting with this congregation. That's Connect. Now, this is one growth path. To show you, well, let me go next and show you two characteristics of a growth path. First of all, the content can be tailored to individual needs. Let's say you were to walk in and say, well, look, hey, I'm a believer. I got the basics, but I really don't know my way around the Bible very well. Could I just go to basic training in Bible? Answer, yes. So you do basic training in Bible, and then you do a Connect course, and then you come out of Connect, and you know what you could do next? You could spend 8 weeks or less or more in a small circle of people reading one of the most significant books of the Bible. There are three ingredients in these groups that we call diggings. We call them that because we want people here to dig down into the Scriptures. And so there are three ingredients: the Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and your experience. And we read, guided reading, but it's very dynamic. These are not lectures. This is a chance for people to talk about how the Scripture makes sense in terms of life experience. So you can start to build pathways that meet your needs. You could go to Financial Peace University, for example. Finish Financial Peace in 9 weeks, come out of that and go to Joe and Luann Pascarella's Marriage Enrichment course. It's a fantastic course. They're teaching it right now to Young Family Life. You could come out of that and you could do a Bible study of the Song of Solomon. Well, that would be exciting to read in a group. And then when you finish with that, you could go on a short-term mission trip. This thing is really flexible. Or suppose you say, look, I've been a believer for 35 years. I need some meat here, my man. What can you give me? Well, suppose we did a course for you on the four Gospels that helps you understand why they're so different from each other and what is the unique perspective they bring to Jesus. And follow that up with a study on the doctrine of the Trinity. And follow that up with a discussion of the uniqueness of Jesus amid all the religions of the world. And follow that up with an in-depth study of the Gospel of Mark. That'll keep you out of pool halls. I mean, that's exciting stuff, people. We can build dozens of these growth paths. Okay, this is way too much detail. I know that. I hope you get a sense that these are simply short-term courses that can be linked together over a shorter or longer period of time, very flexible. And by the way, they are flexible in time and location, too. Not everybody can be here on a Sunday morning. More and more of you are working some Sundays. So you can meet on Sunday night, or you can meet on Saturday night, or you can meet on Wednesday night, or Tuesday morning, or Thursday afternoon. It's what fits your crazy, busy life. And you don't have to meet here. You can meet here, there's lots of rooms, or you can meet in your home, or you can meet at Stanley's Tavern. Just go somewhere. Do this together. You won't be the same person a year from now. All right. We need some inspiration to go with all these details. So would you join me in the New Testament in Paul's letter of Galatians? If you ever go through basic training in Bible, we'll teach you that the New Testament is in three sections. The storyline, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Paul's writings, which is where Galatians is, and you'll know all of Paul's writings by memory. I promise you will know them. And then the last nine writings are writings of the other apostles. Galatians chapter 4. There is a statement here that opens a little window into the soul of the apostle. It's not even a complete sentence that I'm going to read, but it tells his heart. It tells my heart. I think it tells some of your hearts. Chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to this. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. It's really easy, I think, sometimes to read that and say, what is he doing using that imagery of childbirth to talk about himself? What does a man know about the pains of childbirth? Well, no man knows what the experience is. But I'll tell you something, ever since they started letting dads be in labor and delivery, and watching it happen up close and personal, it has made us much more aware of what our wife goes through, and it has left a mark on us. And even saying that is not justice to Paul. Paul lived in a day when childbirth was not sequestered away in a locked portion of the hospital, and the pains were not muted by saddle blocks and general anesthesia. Birth and death and suffering were much more transparent in this world of the Bible than they are in our world, where we are generally protected from the seamier, raw edges of human suffering. Paul heard it, at least. Maybe he even saw it with his sister or other family members. He heard the screams. He saw the pain on a face. And when he looked at that, he said, that's what I feel like when I think about the church and Christ being formed in the lives of people. And instead of speculating more about where Paul's imagery came from, we might ask ourselves, does anybody here care that much about this church? Does anybody here labor in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in the hundreds of people who come here? I'm not talking about caring about people in Jakarta or Budapest or Quito. I'm talking about the 800 or 900 people who are peripheral observers to Christianity in this congregation. Does anybody here yearn to see something good happen in their lives? It's costly to see Christ formed in someone else. And that's why Paul thought this imagery conveyed something of the cost. Here's the price we'll have to pay, at the very least. Do we care enough about people to learn their names, to make them feel welcome, and for them to know that we are relating to them from no ulterior motives or no sinister intentions toward them. You know, it's so easy for churches, for pastors, and congregations, I suppose, to settle into a routine and be really busy, or at least go through the motions and look really busy, and be completely unaware that a congregation can drift away from Christ, and be completely unaware that half the people in any congregation are very much beginners in what it means to follow Christ. How much do we care? That's the challenge, I think, that lies before us in this congregation. And I'd like to give you some very specific ways that you could act to take us in the direction of seeing Christ formed in more and more people. In your ministry news that Karen talked about, you have this connection card. Would you mind looking at it with me for just a minute? Because it gives you some action steps you can take if you would like to be a part of shaping the culture of this church in the next 5 years. On the back page, there's a little rectangular window that says, "My next step today is to commit to one of the following." And there are three choices here. The first is to introduce yourself to someone you don't know every Sunday, from now until the end of, and there's a slight typo here, not 2014, 2015. It takes 22 months to get something into people's psyche. It takes 22 months to turn the ship, if it can be turned at all. Would you do that? If you are willing to try to do that, I want you to tick that box. Second of all, would you commit to inviting someone to the Alpha course whom you know dropped out of church? I'm telling you, there are thousands of people just in the 19803 and 19810 zip codes who have dropped out of church. Maybe they went for years. Maybe they were very knowledgeable people about Scripture and the ways of Christ. They dropped out. I'd like to say one other thing, especially to you all in this congregation. I don't know the percentages here, but I sometimes wonder if up to 15% of you sitting in this room this morning come from a Roman Catholic background. And there are thousands of Catholics who have dropped out of church altogether. If you have Catholic friends, why don't you invite them here? This is a safe place to be Catholic. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. They won't get bashed. And maybe they would discover here what some of you have discovered, that this is a safe place to be a Christian. It's a safe place to be a Catholic. It's a safe place to rediscover what it means to be a follower of Christ. I'm not trying to turn Catholics into Baptists. It's not my life calling. I'm trying to help people follow Jesus Christ. And if your Catholic friends came to this church and said, "Hey, I'm going back to my parish because I'm so reinvigorated with Jesus," I say, let's bless them and send them back. That's where my heart is, and I wanted you to know that. But Alpha is a wonderful introduction to the Spirit and to the life of Jesus and to what it means to be his follower. So if you think you'd be willing to look for Catholics, Presbyterians, Methodists, it's the whole gamut of people who have just dropped out. If you're willing to invite them to an Alpha course, check that box. The third one I didn't talk about, so this is catching you completely by surprise. If you would be willing to learn more about how to be a coach to people who are learning to grow in their faith, we can tell you what we have in mind, And if you want to be a coach, I think we can teach you how to coach people in their spiritual walk. If you're interested in learning, no commitment to this, check the third box. And there's a fourth box. It's not on here, but I'd like for you to tick it if you're interested. Sean, or Tom, could we have that thing with the three circles on it up here with Alpha, BTB, and Connect? This is a great place to start. If any of you would like to be part of this particular growth path, or if you have a friend that you would like to invite and go with to this particular growth path, in this little window, would you just write the two letters GP, growth path? And I'll know that's what you mean, that you're interested in doing this, and or you're interested in inviting a friend to be a part of it with you. This is within our power. And I think God is doing a work in this church. I can't control it. I can't quantify it. I can't even describe it real well, but my sense is God is at work here, and I see his work in so many of your lives. And what I'd like to see is for this thing to expand into the lives of hundreds of people who are beginners in the faith, and you can give it to them. So why don't we pray and ask God to help us in this remarkable opportunity I think God is giving this church. Lord God, you told us, you commanded us to make disciples who obey everything Jesus commanded us. Lord, help us to walk away with this vision. I pray that, Lord, you would help us in this body of believers to accept the challenge of getting to know people we don't know, of inviting people to the Alpha Course, of being coaches, of actually walking this growth path of Alpha and basic training in Bible and Connect. We need you. We need you to waken us. We need your fire to set a fire inside of our souls that's like the pains of childbirth, or it's like a hunger that doesn't go away, or a thirst that won't be quenched until we invest our lives in people. Lord, we thank you that we can give ourselves away in this manner. And as a material token of that larger gift of ourselves, we want now to offer to you our tithe and our offerings. And Lord, what we pray is that you would take the money we give and translate it into the lives of people here in the Brandywine Valley, and to places far, far distant from American shores. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.